Welcome to the Financial Freedom Community Podcast. Are you ready to break bad habits, pay off debt, and change your life? I am Joel Parker, your financial freedom partner, and I am here to provide you guidance every single week. Let's get started. Welcome to episode number 3 of Ask Joel. My name is Joel Parker, and I am your financial freedom partner. Ask Joel is where I answer your burning questions, so send them my way if you have one. Ask Joel at financialfreedomcommunity.com, and every Wednesday I'm answering them. But today we have 4 awesome questions that I know you need the answers to. So let's get started with question number 1. Should I use a bank or a credit union? For most of my life, I actually used a bank. Until recently, I switched to a credit union. Before we get into the reason I made my switch, let's discuss what a bank is versus a credit union. Well, a bank is available to everyone, and they rarely ever turn away someone. Whereas a credit union, you have to meet a criteria to be a member. These can be a part of our armed services, a member of a university, an employee at a particular employer, or even just a member of a local community. So you might not be eligible for any credit unions, and therefore you have to go with a bank. Or you might be eligible for multiple credit unions, which I know I am. You then need to evaluate which credit union might be best for you, or is the bank the better option? Keep that in mind. A credit union also works for their members, and therefore they might have better offerings for you specifically. Whereas a bank works for profit. They are profit-driven, and therefore they might not be focused on you at all. They're probably focused on their top customers. And for most banking institutions, their top customer is businesses. Have you ever wondered why they're only open from 8 to 5 p.m. while you're at work? That's the reason, because you are not their primary customer. They also might have several hidden fees, whereas credit unions typically have lower fees, if any, at all. Banks also typically offer a lower interest rate than credit unions, though the difference between the two is, in many cases, very minuscule and might not even make a difference. Credit unions are known for better service, hours, and their niceness to their customers, whereas banks are known for their roughness around the edges. They're also known for their minimal hours and their bleak customer service. Credit unions, though, typically offer less features, such as a lack of reward programs altogether. They might also offer less retirement plan options or less account options altogether, whereas a bank typically has the full-fledged offerings from savings accounts to money market accounts to IRAs and everything in between. One thing to keep in mind, banks typically are regional or national institutions, and that's the number one fear of credit unions. That's one of the things that held me back, is I knew that credit unions sometimes only have one branch. They also offer minimal ATMs. However, again, this is a fear. And after I did my own research, I realized that this is not always the case. Many credit unions, the one I participate in included, are a part of a co-op where they get together with other credit unions throughout the country so that you can utilize their ATMs and their branches. Therefore, a credit union that only exists in Los Angeles, California, might have a partner credit union in Chicago, Illinois, that you can go into and bank with any time. This also might be a perk to the credit unions. So now taking that fear that you have of the credit union and flipping it upside down, because many banks, if there's none in the vicinity, you are charged an ATM withdrawal fee or a processing fee by a different banking institution, if you can even process anything at a different banking institution. One of the things that also I was afraid of is, would my money have a guarantee? Banking institutions typically offer a $250,000 government-backed guarantee on your money. Well, it turns out that through the National Credit Union Administration, or NCUA, credit unions a lot of times offer the same protection. Look for NCUA at your credit union. So one of the reasons I switched was convenience. For me, locally, there's more credit union branches and ATMs than there were the bank that I had. It was also, I started to notice more and more fees and less offerings from my bank. Therefore, the credit union just fit me better. Also, just the ability to bank for free is a huge benefit to me. I don't have a direct deposit that I can rely on regularly, so I can't get around some of those fees and penalties that banks charge. I also don't like the thought of having $10,000 locked up away in an account that if I were to dip to $9,000, that I'm now going to be charged a monthly fee. So for me, it just doesn't make sense to bank with a banking institution. However, for everyone, it's going to be your own personal decision. A credit union locally might offer the best bang for the buck, whereas for others, a national banking chain might be the way to go. Choose wisely and do what's financially right for you. Let's move on to question number two. What kind of second job should I get? I personally have had a second job almost my entire life. If not the entire life, but I think there was a gap there where I didn't. If you are struggling to get your expenses below your income, then you probably have an income problem and you need to boost that income. And a second job is a great way to do it. And they can be a lot of fun and offer a lot of benefits outside of just income. That's why I've always had one. It's nice to have a secondary income, have a little bit of fun on the side, and get some benefits along the way. Now, my second job is a Disney cast member at Walt Disney World Resort. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. But I didn't do it just because it's Walt Disney. I did it because it pays well and has tremendous amounts of flexibility. The way it works is people will post their shifts online, and I can choose if I want to work that shift or skip it. If I want to work it, I go ahead and select it, and it's now mine. If I want to skip it, no harm, no foul. That's the way it is. I can choose if it fits my schedule, fits my own criteria of do I want to work that day or do I want to work at that location? Maybe it's going to rain and I don't want to work at all. I get to choose. It also offers great perks, like an annual pass equivalent. I'm saving about $700 on an annual pass to Walt Disney World because as a cast member, I can get in for free. Don't just accept any second job that comes your way. There's a plethora of second jobs available. And if you're going to be working 40 hours a week at your primary job and then another 10 to 15 hours part-time at another job, you want it to be fun. You want it to be exciting. You want it to be something you're interested in. There's a lot of second jobs you can take. You could do Uber if you love talking to people. You're always going to be driving around a different stranger. Spark up a different conversation and who knows who you're going to meet. You can also be a Walmart greeter and get discounts at Walmart. If you shop there frequently, that could be the greatest thing and may even be the thing that boosts your financial freedom possibilities. You can be a pizza delivery driver. If you always find yourself ordering pizza, why not? Take the job that fits your schedule and fits what you want to do. If you have kids and a family, you're going to want that flexibility to be able to say, no, I can't work Wednesdays. That is my daughter's ballet night or my son's Boy Scout night. Choose the one that offers flexibility. Choose one that offers high pay. Do not settle for minimum wage. There's too many options outside of minimum wage. My job does not pay minimum wage. It pays well above minimum wage, and so should yours. Another reason to be a pizza delivery driver, lots and lots of tips. Go take the one that's going to offer the flexibility. It's going to be fun. You're going to love it. Don't settle. And maybe, who knows, you might be the next cast member at Walt Disney World. Let's go ahead and move on to question number three. Can I take a break during the financial freedom journey? I am asked all the time. The journey is so long. I owe thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Can I take a break? I know the journey is tough. I know you need to be constantly focused on cutting expenses and boosting your income. I know it can be tough, but you need to hang in there. You cannot take a break. Every stop that you achieve along the journey, you can go ahead and celebrate. I encourage you to. In some cases, I want you to go on a vacation because it's a huge milestone. Other times, go ahead and order a pizza and a movie and relax. But keep in mind that the journey is the long haul. You will achieve financial freedom if you stay strong and continue on your journey. Also, something to keep in mind, I'm fine with an entertainment budget. Many say never step foot in a restaurant, don't ever go see a movie, but I don't think that's accurate. If you listen to Ask Joel episode number 2, I talk about how I encourage you to break down your entertainment expense based on how much debt you have. Check that out. But you have to continue to avoid debt. You have to continue to save for upcoming expenses. The stops along the way exists as a guide to help you achieve financial freedom. But you cannot just halt your journey because the holidays are coming up or you want a vacation. It's too easy to fall back into old habits and turn back the financial clock many years because you wanted a break or quote unquote needed a vacation. Stay strong, keep moving forward, and focus on the important things in life. That's the way for success. The one exception being, if you are pregnant, pause your journey until the baby and mommy are both home, happy, and healthy. Hang in there. The journey will get easier and easier as you continue along. But until that time, I know it's tough. Hang in there. Let's go on to question number 4 and our final question of today's episode. How much should I save for retirement? Well, when it comes to retirement, there are a lot of factors to keep in mind. And really, truly, it depends on you. It depends on how much you need to live off of per year while in retirement. Some people I talk to can live off of $20,000 a year, no problem. Others need $80,000 or even more. If you want the lifestyle you have right this second for each year of retirement, calculate how much you spend each year. If you want a better lifestyle, you need to calculate what that better lifestyle is going to cost you per year. If you don't need as good of a lifestyle as you have at this moment, make those calculations. If you plan to travel, you need to take that into account. Trips aren't cheap. How are you going to be traveling? How many times per year? If you just plan to stay at home and watch TV, then maybe you don't need as much. Will you be holding down a part-time job during retirement? If you are, then you probably don't need to set aside as much. But everyone is different when it comes to retirement planning, and it is important to calculate exactly how much each year retirement is going to cost you. You'll also need to take into account how long you will be retired. Are you going to be retiring in your early 30s and 40s and need 40 to 50 years worth of retirement savings? Or will you wait until 65, the average retirement age, when you only need 20 to 30 years worth of retirement? You need to ask yourself these questions, sit down with your spouse, and make some decisions. There's some great retirement calculators out there that will allow you to punch in these numbers and calculate exactly how much you need to be setting aside right now, each month, so that you can have enough each year when you retire. I'm going to go ahead and put a link in the show notes to my favorite one, and that'll be a great way to assist you in figuring out how much you need, because it's not just a simple, you need X amount of dollars. You need to take these things into account. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ask Joel. If you have a question, which I know you do, go ahead and send it my way, askjoel@financialfreedomcommunity.com. And if you never want to miss a single question or interview or advice from the Financial Freedom Community, go ahead and tap subscribe. That's going to make sure you always get the latest episodes of the Financial Freedom Community podcast. Also, honest ratings and reviews are incredibly helpful. They let me know if I need to step up my game or if I'm hitting on all cylinders for you. Please let me know. Leave an honest rating and review in iTunes and you will be entered into a raffle to win a $50 Visa gift card. Until next time, remember, I am Joel Parker and I am your financial freedom partner. Please reach out to me if there's anything I can do for you. And until next time, I will see you around the financial freedom community.